Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of Eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studio.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
So Tennessee's coaching search goes back to square one, and the man that they hired to make the hire has now been fired.
Yikes, looks like I need a distraction. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Conway Twitty.
Wish that I was on a rocky top down in the Tennessee hill. Ain't no smoggy smoke up on rocky top, ain't no telephone bill.
Ain't no head coach either. But they got a new athletic director and a whole lot of drama. Welcome in a Friday edition, December 1st, of the Todd Brommelkamp Show. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com sitting in for Alex Kuhn today. Taking your texts and phone calls on the Hertine and Stocker text line, 319-366-1600. Kyle Mann, our producer, keeping the show on the track today. He's lined up Dan Murphy of ESPN.com for us, one of the stable of Big Ten writers. Dan's going to be in Indianapolis tomorrow for the Big Ten championship game between Ohio State and Wisconsin, one of the six games we picked on the Carl and Ernie's Pick Six. We'll have the results for you coming up in just a bit. It is Friday. We'll do Love It or Leave It as well. Lots of speculation about where Iowa and Iowa State could be heading for their bowl games. We will find out on Sunday afternoon. I believe 11 a.m. is the college football playoff special on ESPN, and then after that, news usually trickles out about the non-New Year's Six bowl games. Hawkeyes open up Big Ten basketball play tomorrow as well, taking on Penn State at Carver Hawkeye Arena. Rob was at Carver earlier today to catch up with Iowa basketball coach Fran McCaffrey and a couple of the players. Nothing earth-shattering. But, Rob, we've got to start with the coaching news. It feels like we've talked about these two situations for the last two or three days, Alex and myself, but Jimbo Fisher has officially split Tallahassee for Texas A&M, and just when you didn't think the situation, the drama at Tennessee could get any darker, or it's becoming a Coen Brothers movie at this point. They're a wood chipper away from, I don't know, if you haven't seen John Curry lately, you may see if they do have a wood chipper down there in Knoxville, but Phil Fulmer riding to the rescue of Tennessee as the new athletic director, and depending on who you believe, Brett McMurphy, who's a really good college football reporter, has said that he thinks Phil Fulmer was navigating behind the scenes to sabotage Curry, the now former athletic director. This couldn't get more bizarre. Mike Leach, his name came up last night, now no longer under consideration. Curry's out of a job after only 8 months working in Knoxville. And Phil Fulmer is going to try to get the band back together.
There can't be anybody more relieved than Curry at this point. I know he's out of work, but that just had to have been a nightmare to go through. And what you were talking about with McMurphy, Bruce Feldman also, his sources told him the same thing, that Fulmer was behind the scenes doing the puppet thing behind this and kind of running interference and messing this whole thing up, which is just... Does he care about the university? Because it's a week long of bad publicity that he's helped create, if that's the case.
Now, if I have this right, and I've been trying to follow along and from a distance, and I readily admit that I'm not the most dialed-in person when it comes to Tennessee, but apparently Phil Fulmer wanted to be the athletic director a while ago, and he didn't get the job, and Curry eventually winds up as the athletic director, and there seems to be some bad blood there, reportedly some bad blood there. And now Phil Fulmer is saying, hey, let's all rally around. We're going to have some fun winning some championships. So as I said earlier today on Twitter, at Todd Brommelkamp, give me a follow. Someone find the keys to the DeLorean, and we'll go back in time. But this not only – and the point was made earlier on Twitter, this is now going to easily become the most expensive coaching search in college football history. You're paying buyouts. Yep. You're going to have to settle some sort of legal feud with Greg Schiano, who had the job for a few hours and a signed letter of understanding, so he's going to get some money. Curry is going to get a buyout, presumably. I hope Gene Taylor unpacked at Kansas State. He took Curry's old job, the former deputy director of athletics in Iowa City, replaced him in Manhattan, Kansas. And now, on top of this, you're going to still have to pay a new coach. So Tennessee is going to shell out millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. And the only winner here so far is Lane Kiffin, who continues to raise his profile, trolling the school that he left on very, very bad terms.
Yeah, and that would have been interesting if had they brought him back. It certainly would have been worth entertainment value. But I just wonder, what is going on with the leadership at the university? If Phil Fulmer was sabotaging Curry behind the scenes in this whole thing, who was overseeing that? The chancellor, had issues with the Schiano thing, never signed the contract. It just didn't seem like anybody was communicating with each other.
The chancellor's name is, I believe, Beverly Davenport, which sounds like she would be a character on Days of Our Lives or some other soap opera. So it fits in with this. I guess Phil Fulmer would play the role of Stefano DiMera in that. I'm letting on a little too much that I know a lot about Days of Our Lives. I used to watch it with my mom when I was home from school. But this is just, it's gone from strange to bizarre. And speaking of bizarre coaching news, I don't know if you saw this earlier today. Everybody had been saying that Brett Bielema was going to get $5 to $6 million at Arkansas as his buyout. He's going to get $11.8 million, according to reports, because his attorney was lobbying with the Board of Regents at Arkansas to pay him the full $15.4 million. And they were saying, no, he's going to get the $5 to $6 million that the contract calls for. His agent, I wonder if he's got the same agent as Kirk Ferentz, wound up getting them to negotiate up to $11.8 million when it's ambiguous as to whether or not they needed to pay him any more money than the original buyout.
Yeah, I'm not seeing that unless there was some clause in there that they had wiggle room, because if the university in writing owed him $5 million, you give him $5 million, especially since if you do get Gus Malzahn, it's going to cost you an arm and a leg. It's not like there's money's just growing on trees. Maybe it is growing on trees in the SEC. I don't know.
I've spent some time in SEC country. They grow a lot of strange things down there. I'll never forget driving through Arkansas the first time and seeing the sorghum crops in the field. But circle back around here to Jimbo Fisher, because we talked about this on the show last night, and there are a lot of people that are having a hard time understanding why Jimbo Fisher would leave Florida State, a program that has been in contention for national championships for the last 15 years, proud history, Bobby Bowden, all of that, to go to the SEC, to Texas A&M, where the Aggies are still trying to find their footing in that conference after leaving the Big 12. They don't have any of that tradition. And he had a talent advantage in the ACC. That talent advantage is out the window going to the SEC, going up against schools like Alabama, coaches like Nick Saban. What do you make of Jimbo Fisher's decision to get out of Tallahassee?
Yeah, and he was the coach in waiting for Bobby Bowden. They brought him on, and he was the Danny Hope.
Yeah, we know how the coach in waiting thing goes.
Yeah, well, I won't go there with the local situation. If that ends up coming to pass, but there was I think it was an SB Nation site. I sent Kyle this on Twitter earlier today. I guess there was some unrest with the players at Florida State.
Well, they were threatening to boycott the game this weekend, right, if he was still the coach.
That's deep, man. That's heavy stuff.
And I know their quarterback was upset that he didn't get a phone call or a text, and they said on ESPN earlier today that Fisher was trying to get in touch with a lot of the guys to let them know that he... And you know as well as I do from covering a couple of these, when a coach leaves, he doesn't really necessarily get a ton of time to reach out to guys or pull them together for a team meeting, especially when the coach is moving on his own. If he's not being fired or being relieved, if he's making the move, I'm thinking back to when Steve Alford left Iowa for New Mexico, that happened fast.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember talking to the players, interviewing the players after that, and I remember Tony Freeman and those guys were pretty hurt and upset with how it went down, but it shines more light on this being a business, and it really is. And, you know, it's the saying is, as somebody who covers recruiting, you should commit to the university and not the coach. We all know that that can only go so far, but it better be a factor in your decision as a student athlete that you like the university you go to, because you just don't know what's going to happen with the coach.
The Hertin and Stocker text line says that Butch Jones's buyout was $8.5 million and Curry's is $5.5 million, not counting the whatever Schiano is going to get, plus all of the cost that is incurred in the travel, the back and forth of going and talking to these candidates and everything. So
and
the
then
dollars,
the contract to the new coach, whoever,
and then the contract,
whoever it is going to hold you over the barrel if it's anybody worth their, you know, worth their weight.
Now, I asked earlier in the week, so I'll ask you, could you ever see a situation happening in these parts like what went down with Greg Schiano, where there's an opening, the AD announces or it leaks who the hire is going to be, and then the fan base, either Iowa, Iowa State, whoever, is so upset that they submarine it and it's terminal, it's toxic, and they've got to back out of the deal. Could you ever see that happening here, or is that something unique to not necessarily that fan base, but that part of the country, where the fan base holds that much sway?
I'm going to hope it's unique, because it was an unfortunate situation to watch go down, but I'm also not naive to think that it couldn't happen somewhere else. But then again, I go back to what I talked about a few minutes ago. What is up with the leadership at Tennessee that allowed this to happen? You know, it's just questionable. I would hope that, you know, the in-state schools here have better leadership than that. But I think it was, for lack of a better term, part of, you know, a perfect storm. You had a new AD, you had a former coach that won a national championship, potentially undermining him. There were a lot of things at play here that I think created this situation, but it's certainly a lesson for people going forward, for these universities going forward, that this is not how you want to handle something like this.
I'm trying to figure out the best case to explain this. This would be as if Paul Rhodes came back to Ames and was somehow sad. If Matt Campbell had left and say he took the Tennessee job or elsewhere, and Paul Rhodes would
or
Dan McCartney working behind the scenes, and whatever Jamie Pollard is trying to do, basically working behind the scenes to undo that.
Yeah,
I would use Hayden Fry at Iowa as an example, but he's too close to Kirk. But it's not something that I could ever fathom. And again, depending on who you believe here, it all goes back to the fact that Fulmer has wanted this job, and he wants to get his pound of flesh from the guy who got the job in the first place, or the guy before Curry. It's a complicated timeline. The story is a complete mess. And in the end, again, the question that we talked about the other day on the program, and I asked Adam Rittenberg this last night. I know he was on the gym class earlier today with the guys, but we had Adam on the program last night. No matter who the hire is, how do you get everybody back on board? Because the coach comes in and he knows he's number 13, 14 on the list. Half of the fan base is going to be automatically inclined to dislike the coach unless he's a Tennessee legend. I don't know about T. Martin, the offensive coordinator at USC. Rittenberg said, look, he's been the offensive coordinator there for 2 years. He's not ready for that job. Even Matt Campbell was at Toledo as a head coach for a couple years before getting a Power 5 job.
So how long do you have to be an offensive coordinator before you're ready for a head coaching job?
You said you weren't going to try to keep this local.
All right, I'm sorry.
It's interesting because you bring up the coach in waiting thing, and they're going through it at Kansas State. I came across some stuff with John Curry. I keep wanting to call him Tim Curry. A Rocky Horror Picture Show and Clue are running through my head here, but I came across a bunch of, you know, old takes exposed on Twitter about how the Curry hire was fantastic. And part of the reason everybody was saying it was great for him to leave Kansas State for Tennessee was he had the Bruce Weber situation on his hands, but he also, it was going to get really sticky, the Bill Snyder exit strategy. And he kind of got out of Dodge before he had to deal with that. Gene Taylor is there now, and Bill Snyder wants his son, I think his son's name is Sean, who's been the special teams coach there, he wants his son to replace him when he decides to step down at Kansas State, and I don't think very many people want that. And so from the, you know, on the subject of coaches in waiting, and it's fascinating because with Brett Bielema out there being available, and Bielema worked under Snyder at Kansas State, and I think he sort of looks at Brett Bielema as a son in certain ways, would Kansas State be interested in Bielema's services, bringing him back to the Big 12? And then what do? You alienate Bill Snyder, whose name is on the stadium. So the coach-in-waiting situation, I know sometimes it works out. More often than not, it's a complete disaster. You made the Danny Hope comparison earlier with Purdue. And again, I don't think Joe Tiller was ready to ride. Rest in peace. God bless him. I don't think Joe Tiller was ready to ride off into the sunset when Purdue decided it was ready to move on from him, and that sort of exacerbated the problems. But a lot of times when you've got the coach in waiting, the coach in waiting either gets tired of waiting, or it doesn't work out.
And for the most part, you're in an uncomfortable situation.
But this has nothing to do with what's anything local no, here. Couldn't possibly be anything
big picture
relating to 20 miles down the road and what everybody thinks is the inevitable handing of the baton from Ferentz to Ferentz.
And people are just waiting to unload on that. But I digress and go back to the Tennessee situation. The people at Tennessee, Beverly, what was her name? I forget.
Beverly Davenport, the chancellor.
She hired Curry, correct?
I believe so.
So then she brings him in, and if we're to believe, you know, McMurphy and Bruce Feldman, then she allows Phil Fulmer into her head or into, you know, the equation to disrupt the guy that she hired. So to me, it's bigger than just the athletic department. This is a institutional problem. Who's running things down there? And, you know, who's in charge and who has the... It sounds like Phil Fulmer's running things down there.
And that's just fine with the Tennessee fans. They're excited because they've got a slice of
and they
the
ran
past.
Him out of town.
They did, but time heals all wounds. You know that.
Yeah.
A couple around here that I don't think would heal. I don't think if Gary Barta retired and... what's his name? Mr. Boston Market announced that Steve Alford was going to be the new athletic director. I don't think that would probably scab over all that well, but time heals all wounds, especially with a fan base that hasn't won in a while, and Tennessee fits into that category. But you're right. Phil Fulmer was their Kirk Ferentz, right? Is that an apt, except, well, the national title and everything, yes. But Phil Fulmer was there. He was there for a really long time. They got tired of him. And we all know how that's played out for them since. They've gone Lane Kiffin, they've gone Derek Dooley, they've gone Butch Jones, and now they've gone, well, Greg Schiano and whoever's next.
I thought Leach would be a good hire after this, not after this craziness, because he's the type of guy that could come in after the craziness and maybe his craziness could calm it down, if that makes any
sense.
Can
you imagine the air raid offense in the SEC?
I
think it would have been fantastic, and I saw that last night before I went to bed, and the last thing that I remember thinking to myself before my head hit the pillow and my wife was yelling at me for being on my phone before I went to bed, please don't let me wake up in the morning and have this not come to fruition. And of course, I wake up and the first thing that I see this morning, other than my son staring me in the eyes as he's slapping me in the face because we had to bring him into the bed last night, the second thing I see this morning, and the Mike Leach stuff didn't work out. Who would have thought? 4:25, let's step aside and take a quick break. When we return, Kyle's going to have your first big board update of the day. Dan Murphy of ESPN.com going to be joining us tonight at 5 o'clock. Back with more after this.
Time's almost up to use your flex dollars, so stretch them twice as far at McDonald Optical. Now through December 7th, save 50% on all frames during McDonald Optical's holiday flex sale. Be sure to stop in to see the December trunk shows featuring brand new styles from great names like Kate Spade and Ray-Ban 2. Find the schedule at McDonaldOptical.com. Get the most out of your flex dollars now through December 7th at both McDonald Optical Iowa City locations, downtown and in their new space inside the Iowa City Marketplace, just down the hall from their old location, now next to Panera.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Welcome back. 426, the Todd Brownell Camp Show continuing on. No KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire tonight. We're here in the KGYM studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Probably something I should have taken care of off the top of the show. Also want to remind everybody, Rob, you tell me, Rob Howe, Hawkeye Nation, sitting in for Alex Kuhn tonight. Foreigner fan back in the day?
Nope.
I was going to say you're a little bit younger than the Foreigner demographic. You probably just missed out on them. They're coming to the U.S. Cellular Center in March. I think that concert's March 29th. It's a Thursday night. Tickets are on sale at the U.S. Cellular Center and online, Ticketmaster.com. They went on sale today at 10 a.m. All week long, we've been giving away tickets, and we'll do so again sometime tonight before 7 o'clock. Right now, Kyle is getting ready soon. He will have a big board update for you. But first, we send you to KGYMradio.com. Don't forget you can vote in our poll question today, brought to you by our friends at Emil's Hideaway. Which conference championship game is going to have the biggest effect on the college football playoff this weekend? It's something Rob and I are going to be chatting about before 7 o'clock tonight. Emil's Hideaway is on First Avenue Southeast, behind Taco John's, next to the Home Depot. I just drove past Emil's earlier today as I was getting measured for the KZIA bridal show, the Z102.9 bridal show, which is coming up in January. So the tux fitting is done. Tammy, always a pleasure dealing with you. And Lacey, you definitely had the wrong pant size. My apologies for having to call you out on that. Right now, it's time to call Kyle front and center. He's got a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Iowa State women fell to Drake last night, 83-80, to fall to 3-3 on the season. Drake controlled the game from the get-go, led 41-31 at halftime, and led by Sarah Ryan with 24 points, were able to hold off a late push by the Cyclones. The Bulldogs moved to 4-3. Friend of the show and now former Colonels manager Tommy Watkins is going to be heading out of town as the Twins have announced some changes to the minor league system. Another former Colonels manager, Jake Maurer, is said to be weighing his professional options, and so Watkins is going to take over for him at AA Chattanooga. The Rough Riders are 7-8 to start their season, and they've got a chance to get back to .500 tonight in Dubuque against the Fighting Saints. They'll also be back in town tomorrow night for a matchup with the Sioux Falls Stampede at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena, puck dropping at 7:05. Tonight after the show, we're going to have some high school basketball for you. We'll have North Scott and Prairie in a boys matchup on 1600 AM, the historic main gym. And we'll also have the Cedar Rapids Kennedy girls traveling to Iowa City High on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, as well as 107.5 FM, the North Gym. And it's going to be our first weekend with no football for the Hawkeyes or Cyclones, but the UNI Panthers have a playoff game against 6th-ranked South Dakota State. We're going to carry that game for you tomorrow, beginning at 1 o'clock on 1600 AM, the historic main gym. We're also going to have the ACC championship game between Miami and Clemson.
For time the other night, UNI and UNLV in basketball, and our pal Gary Ryman joins us on Wednesdays here on KGYM. He had a rather muted call of that game. Caught me a little bit off guard, but from a football standpoint, absolutely a great trip up there to Brookings last time. They won by 20, and it was hobo days. What do you think hobo days entails in Brookings, South Dakota, Rob Howe?
Don't
answer if you've ever been there for it. I don't want to spoil it.
I have not been there.
Okay.
There's probably a stick with a bandana on the end involved and other...
Hobo coach football, and can he find his way to Knoxville, Tennessee? That's the question.
Speaking of, quickly, I know we're going to ESPN, Mark Schlabaugh from ESPN, Jimbo Fisher, 10 years, $75 million.
Ooh, that is a lot of scratch. That's a good reason to leave Tallahassee, yeah. If you ask me. A 10-year deal.
$75
million. Wow. Bowl speculation, Iowa and Iowa State, they're headed somewhere. We'll find out Sunday. It's what we're talking about next. The Todd Brownellcamp Show continuing on all three KGYM frequencies next.
At Amazon, we've got everything you need for the perfect holiday get-together. From wining, to dining, to reclining together afterwards. And get free shipping on over 100 million items with eligible orders over $25. Only at Amazon. For all your entertaining and gifting needs. So whether it's a small family gathering or a whole house full, if you're hosting good times this holiday, visit Amazon.
Foreigner with the Dave Eggers Orchestra. March 29th, U.S. Cellular Center. Foreigner.
You're as cold as ice.
Performing together with an orchestra, a sophisticated spin on classic Foreigner. Reserve two tickets are on sale now. Online at uscellularcenter.com. Tickets and exclusive VIP packages are available at foreigneronline.com.
$5 million. That's the biggest total dollar deal ever for a college football coach. As for Florida State, associate head coach Odell Hagans takes over the team for the regular season finale against Louisiana Monroe tomorrow. ESPN's Chris Lowe reports former Tennessee coach Philip Fulmer is the school's new athletic director. He gets a two-year contract. John Curry parted ways with the university earlier today after less than a year on the job. Ole Miss will appeal a ruling from the NCAA that bans the Rebels football team from the postseason again next year. The Committee on Infractions also ruled the program will lose 13 more scholarships. Tonight at 8 Eastern on ESPN, college football's championship weekend gets underway with the Pac-12 title game, Stanford and USC. Coverage starts at 7 Eastern here on ESPN Radio. Tiger Woods at 7 under, 5 shots off the lead at the Hero World Challenge.
Want an easy way to see if you could save money on car insurance? GEICO gives you 3. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online to geico.com or stop by the GEICO office nearest you. 3 ways you could save 15% or more.
If you're not a fan of change, well, that makes you pretty much like everybody else. But stuff's gonna happen. New car, new house, new baby. Maybe a new driver in the family. You have enough on your plate, so let your person take care of the insurance part. Just call or email. Let them know what's new and what's up, and they'll handle it. Nice. At Skokman Carlson Insurance, you have a person. Get to know yours at youhaveaperson.com. Supported by Integrity Insurance.
At the gym, we know good sportsmanship matters during a game and in life.
And we want to recognize good sports like you with KGYM's Community MVP.
So if your nonprofit group is holding an event to help folks around here, let us know.
Just go to KGYMradio.com, click on Community MVP, and give us all the details.
Because you deserve most valuable player status for doing something great. And we want to help get the word out.
KGYM's Community MVP, brought to you by Fairfax State Savings Bank.
Your car has lots of lights. You've got headlights, interior lights, the light that comes on when you open your glove box. But there's one light that's the pest of the bunch, your check engine light. And at AutoZone, we have the tools to help you troubleshoot the real problem for free. Whether it's something serious or something simple like a loose gas cap, you'll get a MyZone health report to help save you money and hassle down the road. So if your check engine light comes on, come on over to AutoZone and let's get you what you need.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome back in, 4:34, the Todd Brommelkamp Show, continuing 106.3 and 107.5 FM, our South Gym in Iowa City and North Gym frequencies in Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, the historic main gym, and all across the country online, kgymradio.com. You can stream us anytime, anywhere. Download the podcast if you missed the show. Also, the absolutely free, this would make a tremendous Christmas gift for the frugal listeners among us, the free KGYM Radio app. You can download it. Just go to the iTunes or Google Play Store, search for KGYM, and it's all yours. Merry Christmas. Just put it on, write it on a little piece of paper or something and stuff it into your loved one's stockings. I downloaded the KGYM app just for you. 319-366-1600. That is the number that six people called earlier tonight for the Carl and Ernie's Pick 6, and I wish I could say I was making somebody's holiday a little greater by getting them a $30 gift card to Carl and Ernie's, but I went off the board first tonight, followed by Scott Unash, then Sean, with a rare appearance in the top three. Alex Kuhn in absentia picked fourth, Mark Dukes fifth, and Kyle, I don't know what's going on, man. You're 5-1 2 weeks in a row. That's 10-2.
I don't know what you got to do.
Taken sixth. Somebody would call that a value pick. Carl Linerty is the sponsor for the Pick Six. Find him on Highway 1 West in Iowa City. Dan Murphy of ESPN.com is going to be with us to kick off hour number two. We'll preview the Big Ten Championship game tomorrow between Ohio State and Wisconsin at Lucas Oil Field in downtown Indianapolis. I don't think either one of those fan bases is going to drink Indy dry the way that the Hawkeyes did a couple years ago. But if it was one fan base, my money would be on Wisconsin, because we all know how Wisconsin folks drink. But I don't think either side is probably all that jacked up to be going to that game. Ohio State's a big-time favorite. It's going to be tough for Wisconsin to get through another week without suffering a loss. We've talked about this, and we've seen it with Iowa. You go 8-0, 9-0, 10-0, and every single week it gets tougher and tougher. Not really a whole lot on the line from an Iowa standpoint tomorrow, Rob, with Ohio State and Wisconsin. Is there any way that you see that game affecting where Iowa could wind up bowling eventually?
Short answer is I don't know, because it's so hard to know what is going to happen below those teams. It seems like there'll be three Big Ten teams, college football playoffs / New Year's Six bowls. It seems Penn State, Ohio State, and Wisconsin will get into those, you would think. But if Wisconsin blows Ohio State out of the water, which isn't out of the question, I mean, they could fall out of a New Year's Six bowl, and that certainly would affect Iowa, I would think.
So at this point, if you had to handicap it, and I have been busy today, my apologies, I didn't get a chance to take a peek at HawkeyeNation.com. If you've written about this, I may have missed it. But if you had to handicap the bowl scenario for the Hawkeyes at this point, I know there are some people out there, the hardcore Kool-Aid drinkers, who still think the Holiday Bowl is within reach. Is there a scenario where Iowa, in your opinion, can wind up in San Diego outside of a really big stretch?
I think it would take...
They'd have to jump a Northwestern team that has a two-win gap on them, and that's not allowable.
No, you wouldn't think so. I don't know what...
Unless that rule changed. I mean, the Big Ten changes the game. It's like what Rowdy Roddy Piper used to say. Just when you think you know the question, I change the answer. Or just when you think you know the answer, I change the question. Every year with the Big Ten and its bowl setup, the rules are different and wacky.
They throw so many different stipulations in there with these bowl contracts that they confuse you so much that you don't know where anybody's going to end up. And if you have an argument, you'd be like, they have a counter argument to say, well, this team can't appear here, and we have to have different teams in this bowl. It's, you know, six different teams in a 7-year period, and all this other stuff. It's just hard to keep track of.
And we had a couple people the other day that got upset mentioning that the Holiday Bowl, Iowa doesn't deserve an elite bowl. The Holiday Bowl is not an elite bowl any longer.
Is it the second tier?
It's in that, and it's kind of in the middle to the bottom of the second tier.
I would say it's the bottom, right? Underneath the Outback Bowl?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You'd rather go to the Outback than the Holiday,
right,
in my opinion. Now, of course, there's a lot of nostalgia there among Hawkeye fans for San Diego and the Holiday Bowl, and it's been 20-some years since the Hawkeyes have played in it. 25, I think, off the top of my
head.
Kyle
wasn't born yet. Right?
Kyle may not have been born the last time that the Hawkeyes... What year were you born?
November 93.
Okay, that's close. Yeah, there would have been a Sun Bowl in there in
97,
95, Alamo.
Didn't see
Alamo,
it.
Sun, Alamo.
So how many people actually remember that?
Yeah, but all they know, California, yeah. It's warm and they want to go there. Now, not so much about the Foster Farms Bowl, which would be California. And it's played in Santa Clara at Levi's Stadium where the 49ers play. I guess you could have a C.J. Beathard, George Kittle, Greg Maben reunion out there. Beathard, by the way, not going to be starting for the San Francisco 49ers this week at Soldier Field when they take on the Bears. Going to go with, I almost said Bohannon, Garoppolo. I don't know where I got. I'm thinking of Gordy Bohannon, Jordan's dad, for some reason. But
we got CJ on the show when he was a starting quarterback.
We did.
In the NFL.
It was a tight window, and we squeezed him in there. Foster Farms Bowl on a percentage scale at this point.
It seems pretty low. I'll kind of go through what I wrote, and I've not changed it since Sunday because I haven't really heard. I've got the three teams we talked about in the New Year's Six playoff bowls, Wisconsin, Ohio State, Penn State. The Citrus Bowl would be next. And that would probably be, I don't know, at that point. You got the Citrus Bowl and the Orange Bowl. That's confusing, too, because if one team goes to the Orange Bowl, then the Citrus Bowl's out. So one of those other teams could go there. It seems like you would get Michigan to the Outback, Northwestern to the Holiday, Iowa to Music City, Purdue to Pinstripe, Foster Farms looking for a team to fill it because there aren't enough Big Ten teams. That's kind of the way I see it right now. But, again, there are some strange things that can happen at the top depending on what happens in the Big Ten championship.
The thing that concerns me the most here is how everybody has bought in and is in agreement that the Music City would be the bowl to embrace this year. Now, in the past, if you said the Music City Bowl to Iowa fans, they probably would have bristled and said, no, we want something better, the Outback. But the way that it works out this year, the Music City is out there, and it's going to come down, in my opinion, to the Pinstripe and the Music City. And there's a world of difference between New York City 2 days after Christmas and $350 a night hotel rooms and the travel to get out there and the 29th, which is 4 days after Christmas and a game where you could drive to it. It's what, 8.5, 9 hours, something like that, depending on how fast you drive and whether or not the trooper let you off with a warning. But I didn't. You know what? I haven't told that story yet. Rob and I got pulled over, and I say Rob and I got pulled over. He was in the passenger seat. We got pulled over last Friday on the way to Lincoln for the football game, and the trooper was either a Hawkeye fan or he was a Cubs fan, and he liked my license plate because he came back and he didn't even give a written warning. But I'm going just a little bit fast. That's the only time anybody's ever been in a hurry to get to Lincoln. But
He wanted to know who was going to win the game.
Yeah, well, he wanted to know who we were rooting for, and we had to break the news to him. We weren't rooting for anybody. We were rooting for a fast game so that we could get out of the stadium and back to the hotel. But
rooting for not getting a ticket. That's what we're rooting
and,
for.
Yeah, and I didn't say that to him either, but there you go.
He was a nice guy, and thank you if you're listening.
A shout out to what Jackie Gleason said, Smokey and the Bandit, a fellow brother of law enforcement, right? Music City Bowl, I think, is about a 45-50% chance here with the Pinstripe Bowl at about another 50%. I'm with you. I think the Foster Farms is probably out and the Holiday Bowl's a reach at this point. So then it comes down to, as you mentioned, this Big Ten. I don't see how the conference can get away with guaranteeing a bowl, different teams, especially in that. Over the course of 8 years, I think they're shooting for eight different teams, but they guaranteed them six different teams. And that's where it comes down to, and I think we've done a good job of explaining this to listeners for the most part, is the conference has to approve the bowl selections. And so could there be a scenario where the Music City says, we want to take Iowa, and the Big Ten goes, yeah, we're not going to sign off on that. We want to send Iowa to the Pinstripe because they're not normally in the conversation with the, no offense to the Rutgers and the Indianas of the football universe, those programs are more apt to be in the Pinstripe Bowl than the Hawkeyes on any given year. But do you see a scenario where the Big Ten could step in and say, eh, nice try?
I wish I knew what happened behind closed doors, and I think this happened a lot more before the current setup, where there were more contractual obligations that say we're trying to rotate teams through these given bowls. Like we were talking about last week, had Indiana beat Purdue in the old Oaken Bucket game on Saturday, then Iowa would have gone to the Pinstripe Bowl because Indiana had been there
already.
Yeah,
that pretty much would have locked Iowa in, and that's what's allowing people to attach their hopes and dreams to the Music City, which, I think is going to... If the rug gets pulled out from under me and I don't get to spend a couple nights at Legends on the Corner on Broadway in Nashville right across from Bridgestone Arena, I am going to be really bummed. You've heard me on this program talk about how great Las Vegas is. Have you ever been to Nashville?
Been to Vegas, not been to Nashville.
You got to go to Nashville. Nashville, I'm telling you.
Hopefully I will next week or
Hawkeye fans, if you're listening right now, I'm not getting a kickback from the Convention and Visitors Bureau in Nashville, but I love that city. I love it more than Las Vegas. You can go to Nashville. And here's the deal. I know what you're thinking because you've listened to the program before and you heard Conway Twitty on the intro today and you go, oh, it's just, it's country music. You can go and walk down the street, Broadway, or go up Printer's Row, and you can hear virtually every type of music. And this is not a Blues Brothers callback to country and Western. It's, you can hear rock music, you can find bluegrass music, you can find even hip-hop in Nashville. I mean, the music scene there is fantastic, the food is great, and it's a good time. You can stay out. I think the bars are open until 3, 4 in the morning, too.
That could be dangerous.
I am not going to cop to ever making it that far into the evening or the morning, depending on how you look at it. But Nashville is a great place, and that's why I'm almost sold at this point that the Hawkeyes are going to wind up in New York City at the Pinstripe Bowl. It's because everybody, and then of course there was the, if you want to call it a leak earlier this week, but I'm sure you saw that, the screen grab that went around. Somebody was doing some coding at the university.
Somebody hit the wrong button.
Somebody hit the wrong button and put the sale ticket live or the schedule live for Iowa playing in the Music City Bowl. So now you've got the Lee Harvey Oswald conspiracy theorists out there thinking that Iowa already knows. I'm with you. In the old days, Gary Barta would have wined and dined the Music City rep and they would have had a deal signed behind closed doors probably last week after the Nebraska game is the way things would have worked in the old days. Now you get the conference championship game and you get the college football playoff and the New Year's Six that muddies the waters. And we're a long way away. Randy Peterson at the Register had a really good article talking about Iowa State and the old days of getting together in the back room and cutting the deal. And basically it was an old boys network of, we'll guarantee you these ticket sales and we'll help you pick out the opponent, stuff like that. And you're kind of at the mercy of the conference and the agreements at this point, if you're a Hawkeye fan. Now, Iowa State, and Rob, I know you're not as dialed in on Iowa State as our Iowa State fans would probably like a guest to be on the program, but from following afar and certainly keeping tabs on them after the game in Ames this year, you get a feel that maybe they're going to wind up. I know people are hoping for the Camping World Bowl in Orlando, which is run by the same people that run the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl. It would have been the Capital One Bowl back in the day when Drew Tate hit Warren Holloway with that game-winning touchdown pass. But it's the second-tier bowl game that bowl runs in Orlando. That, to me, is kind of the ceiling for Iowa State, and it might be a little bit of a reach, but if TCU and Oklahoma both get into the New Year's Six, and we've seen three-loss teams get in before, which would be TCU beating Oklahoma, the bottom is sort of the Liberty Bowl, but I'm thinking Iowa-Nashville on the 29th, Liberty Bowl, Iowa State, Memphis on the 30th, swing back through Memphis on the way and cover two bowl games. But I think the Texas Bowl and the Alamo are also in the mix for the Iowa State fan. Iowa State's never been to a bowl game in Florida. And I don't know whether that would be if they got the right alignment of planets, whether the Camping World Bowl would be like, yeah, we had a great time with the Iowa fans many years ago in Orlando. The Iowa State fans are going to travel as well, hopefully as well. Let's bring the state, half the state of Iowa, back to Florida and Orlando. I don't know whether that'll play into the picture here, or whether Iowa State's going to wind up in Texas, or whether they wind up in Memphis, which I know would be a huge disappointment to Iowa State fans, because the last time that they were bowl eligible, they wound up playing in the Liberty Bowl, and it didn't turn out that well. I think Tulsa beat them 31-16 or something like that. So,
is that what they would get again? Is it an AAC team that they would meet in the Liberty
Bowl?
It is,
and Mr. AAC is not here, but as he has broken this down, Alex believes that the loser of the conference championship game tomorrow, either Memphis or UCF, will wind up in the Liberty Bowl as opposed to going to the Birmingham Bowl, which Memphis has played in and, according to Alex, is one of the worst bowl games. There are no bad bowls, and that's why I thought if Iowa were to ever be 6-6 and in the Detroit, the quick lane conversation, I would like to know whether Kirk Ferentz would stick to the there are no bad bowls line and talk up going to Detroit. And I got to admit, after Wisconsin and Purdue, especially after the Purdue game, I was checking to make sure that my passport was up to date, and I was thinking about making that drive over into it's Windsor, right?
Yes.
On the other side of Detroit, which I've never been to Canada. I could cross that off the bucket list, but luckily the Hawkeyes handed Nebraska their lunch last Friday and are now in a position to go to a slightly better bowl game. 319-366-1600, that is the Hertine and Stocker text line. Darren in Iowa City says ISU fans will travel better than the Hawkeye fans right now. I can't argue with that. Can you?
I just got a text from LaShawn Daniels.
For
the listeners, I'm going through my phone Rolodex here
trying to find a 6 o'clock guest tonight.
And he said, "Hey, Rob, he's got an exclamation point on there, all so right. He's happy."
Yeah, and then he shoots you down.
"Had plans with the family on our weekend off. I'd be more than happy to do it another time." So we'll line him up a different time.
Okay. LaShawn Daniels, who did he get on the field last night? They played last night, yeah. Washington and Dallas.
I turned it off. I don't want to go down that road, but the NFL and me are just not working out.
Not from a protest standpoint, it's not that entertaining anymore.
No, it's boring.
It's boring. Yeah.
It's just hard to watch.
We got to take a break here. We come back. We'll find out. We could play this wheel of roulette. Who else will turn us down today for a last-second emergency spot? We know Dan Murphy at ESPN.com is going to be with us tonight at 5 o'clock. Love it or leave it on the way as well in hour number two. And don't forget, tickets to see Foreigner with the Dave Eger Orchestra at the U.S. Cellular Center in March. Back with more. It's the Todd Bromelkamp Show on 106.3, 107.5, and 1600 AM after this.
We've reached it, the point where the only way to make Tuesdays any better is by having more boneless wings. That's why here at Buffalo Wild Wings, we've invented Boneless Tuesdays. It's a celebration where if you order boneless wings at full price, you'll get another of the same size for free. This works for dine-in or takeout. Every little bit counts. And on Tuesdays, every boneless wing counts as two. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Prices and participation vary. Valid only on Tuesdays while supplies last. Tax and gratuity extra. Additional restrictions apply. See participating location for details.
That's the sound of your in-laws cat perched over your bed at 3 a.m. You wanted to save money this holiday, so you settled for their house. Now you're staring into the eyes of pure evil. If you booked a hotel on Priceline, you could have saved up to 60%. That's up to $120 a night. Plus, you'd be in your own comfortable, cat-free room. Save up to 60% on hotels when you book on Priceline and get the deals you won't find anywhere else.
Express deals are different. Exact hotel shown only after booking.
4:54, welcome back in. The Todd Bromelkamp Show coming your way from the KGYM studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Tonight, taking the week off from the road trip driven by Linder Tire. Make sure you stop by lindertire.com and check out their great online deals. They've got some online-only coupons right now, or if you're in need of some car work immediately, I'm sure they would take you if you walked in the door in Grinnell, North Liberty, or Iowa City. Linder Tire and lindertire.com, a sponsor of the KGYM road trip. And we'll see. Right now we're in the studio here on a Friday. December 1st, I almost got in trouble because we were supposed to get fitted for the tuxes for the Z102.9 Bridal Show. And I just remembered that the email said December something was the drop-dead date. And I'm thinking, it's November. It's November. And then somebody came into the office earlier today and goes, are you going to go get fitted? Today is the deadline. And I looked at the calendar and it was a reminder that, yes, it is December 1st, which means you have only 23 more shopping days until Christmas Eve. And I say Christmas Eve, December 24th is a tremendous day to do your Christmas shopping if you are a guy, because then you don't have to second guess any of the gifts that you purchase. First thing you grab, it's going in the cart, it's getting wrapped, it's going under the tree. I used to do that all the time. I no longer wait until the 24th now, but back in the day, maybe somebody can take home some Foreigner tickets tonight. That would be a nice stocking stuffer. We'll give you a chance to win those coming up before 7 o'clock tonight. Right now, Kyle's got another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Fran McCaffrey spoke to the media in Iowa City today. He says Connor McCaffrey hasn't been cleared to play yet, but he has been participating in non-contract drills and could be cleared potentially by Monday. The Iowa State women fell to Drake last night, 83-80, to fall to 3-3 on the season. Drake controlled the game from the get-go and led 41-31 at halftime. And led by Sarah Ryan with 24 points, were able to hold off a late push by the Cyclones. The Bulldogs moved to 4-3. Friend of the show and now former Colonels manager Tommy Watkins is going to be heading out of town as the Twins have announced some changes to the minor league system. Another former Colonels manager, Jake Maurer, is said to be weighing his professional options, so Watkins will take over for him at AA Chattanooga. The Rough Riders are 7-8 to start their season, and they've got a chance to get back to .500 tonight in Dubuque against the Fighting Saints. They'll also be back in town tomorrow night for a matchup with the Sioux Falls Stampede at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena, puck dropping at 7:05. Tonight after the show, we're going to have some high school basketball for you. We'll have North Scott and Prairie in a boys matchup on 1600 AM, the historic main gym. We'll also have the Cedar Rapids Kennedy girls traveling to City High on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, as well as 107.5 FM, the North Gym. And it's going to be our first weekend with no football for the Hawkeyes or Cyclones, but the UNI Panthers have a playoff game against 6th-ranked South Dakota State. We'll carry that game for you tomorrow beginning at 1 o'clock on 1600 AM, the historic main gym.
Penn State has wasted little time in replacing Joe Moorhead as the offensive coordinator for the Nittany Lions. James Franklin announcing today that he's going to stick with his current staff, and Ricky Rainey is getting the promotion to offensive coordinator. He's served as the passing game coordinator and quarterback's coach, similar to Brian Ferentz being the run game coordinator at Iowa. He makes the move from passing game coordinator and quarterback's coach up to offensive coordinator at Happy Valley. He worked with James Franklin at Vanderbilt before following him to Happy Valley. No Penn State in Indianapolis this year. It's Ohio State and Wisconsin playing for the Big Ten Championship tomorrow at Lucas Oil Stadium. We'll preview that matchup and talk Big Ten Bowl destinations with Dan Murphy of ESPN.com. He's set to join us next. 1 hour in the books, two to go. More on the way after this.
Guys, the JCPenney Holiday Challenge is here. Get everything you need for less.